Hey, it's Johnny Jett, and today my guest is Tim Leffel, who I've known for a very long time. How long have you been a travel writer for, Tim?
Man, I've been a travel writer since the mid-90s, and I think you and I met around 2005, 2006, so it's been a while.
Yeah, and I started in 95, and you were there when I got engaged the next morning.
That's right.
So Tim is a very special part of our family. But Tim knows travel and especially living abroad more than anybody. He's written all kinds of books and articles about moving abroad and living abroad. And actually, he has a book coming out this week. What's it called, Tim?
This will be the second edition of A Better Life for Half the Price, How to Thrive on Less Money and the Cheapest Places to Live. So I kind of wrapped it all up there in the title.
Well, as everyone knows, tomorrow is the big election here in the United States of America that I think everyone in the whole world is watching. Regardless who your candidate is, so many people have threatened to move out, including some big celebrities. Bruce Springsteen says he's moving to Australia. Tommy Lee says he's moving to Europe. But Tim tells me that the political reasons is the number three reason why people move out of the United States. Is that true?
Yeah, and that can fluctuate. I definitely got a bump in my sales after the 2016 election for good reason. But usually people move either to save money on their monthly expenses or to get better weather. I mean, especially if you're living in, you know, Michigan or Canada, maybe you just want to be someplace sunny and warm.
I grew up in Connecticut, and believe me, I was like, I'm ready to move. And that's why I live in California now. And so you grew up in where? Florida?
I grew up in Virginia, which does get kind of cold in the winter. And I lived in New York City, which was even worse, and Nashville, and yeah, Florida. Spent a summer on the Outer Banks of North Carolina. So I've sampled a few places on the east side of the U.S.
And where do you live now?
I live in Guanajuato, Mexico, which is it's 6,500 feet, so it's got pretty perfect weather all year long, not much rain, short rainy season. And it's pretty easy to get back and forth to the U.S., but yet I'm in a really exotic and different kind of place.
And a lot of Americans there?
A few hundred in this town, maybe 500 or 600 at the height of winter, but we're about an hour and a half from San Miguel de Allende, which has a huge number of Americans. And also there's this area called Lake Chapala, about 3 hours away, Ajijic, and there's loads of Americans of both of those. This place I live is very hilly. A lot of houses are on pedestrian-only streets with lots of steps. It's kind of like old Europe. So if you have a car and you want a garage and you're not very mobile, this is not a good place.
So do you feel safe in Mexico? You know, you hear so much about on the news about, you know, people getting their heads cut off by drug cartels and all this.
Yeah, it's very sensationalist. And there, I don't want to downplay it. There is certainly violence here, but it tends to be cartel against cartel violence most of the time, just the way, you know, in the U.S., you may hear like, you may hear St. Louis is a super violent place, or New Orleans has a really high murder rate, but you're not going to run into it, you know, where you live probably. So it's a lot of the times the case here. I've never had anything bad happen to me. And a few people I know have gotten, you know, like a house break in while they were gone, something like that, but no violence to anybody I know.
And how long have you been there?
I've been off and on for about 10 years, but this past run, we moved here permanently in late 2018, and we've been here ever since. This is our base.
And where have you lived in other places as well?
We had a beach house in the Yucatan Peninsula of Mexico near Merida, but I never actually lived there. It was just kind of a vacation getaway place. It was a sleepy fishing village, basically. So this area I'm in now is a university town. There's a lot more culture, a lot more to do.
And do you need to speak Spanish to live there?
Where I am, it certainly helps a lot. Like, you could get by without it. A lot of places in Mexico, especially the beach resort areas, of course, like Puerto Vallarta or Playa del Carmen, even San Miguel de Allende. Here it's a bit tougher because there's just not that many foreigners. There's a lot of tourists here, but they're mostly Mexican tourists. So it definitely helps, but mine is still lousy, I'll admit. I mean, I can get by, but I can't have a long conversation about politics, that's for sure.
And I mean, have you saved significant amount of money? Is that why you moved, or is it other reasons?
Yeah, that was a huge part of it for us. I mean, we did want to live in another culture. I did that earlier in my life. Before I had a kid, I lived in Korea and Turkey, teaching English both places. And I really liked that experience of living somewhere instead of just passing through. So that was part of it, the cultural aspect, but it's massively cheaper here. I mean, I always tell people what we spent just on rent in Tampa, Florida is what we spend on everything here. And here we're being a lot less frugal. We're going out more, we're eating whatever we want and, you know, just having a good time. So it's we're not really watching our money here. Whereas in the US, I felt like we had to always be careful. And of course, our health insurance has dropped massively, even though we have a policy that will cover us when we travel. That's a huge savings for most Americans.
For sure. So any examples on, like, you know, how much a meal would cost or how much rent would cost or
beer? I actually ran a survey here and most of the people were paying for rent somewhere between $350 and $800 a month. Some of those were singles, some of them were couples or families. If you pay more... So that's like one or two bedrooms usually. And if people are paying more than $1,000 here, it's usually like a, you know, I don't want to say a mansion, but a very fancy place with nice appliances and four bedrooms maybe. And so it's pretty reasonable here. I mean, you hear people getting by for $200 a month, but it's more like student housing, you know, something really basic. Right. And then to go out to eat, yeah, we can get a meal of the day for $3 or $4. That's a few courses at a kind of basic place or at the market. The most we've ever spent on dinner for two is $100, I think. And that was with quite a few drinks and dessert. You know, that's a special occasion meal.
Right. Ever get food poisoning?
No, I've been really lucky this time. It's happened to me once or twice in the past, but this time I've been here, you know, almost 2 years and I haven't even gotten the runs. So I'm feeling, you know, fingers crossed, but I'm feeling pretty fortunate. But, you know, they always say don't drink the water, and that's pretty good advice. Don't drink it out of a tap. But I think restaurants are pretty hygienic these days, and most of them use, you know, those 5 gallon thing, water things like you see in an office. Guys come around delivering those every day. And so even like the little market stalls and juice stands will use purified water. So, you know, part of that is probably my body getting used to it, but I don't think it's nearly as dangerous unless you have a super sensitive stomach. Right. It's not as dangerous here as people think. Sometimes it's just the spiciness. Just like if you go to Turkey, you might get sick because there's a lot of oil in the food, you know, just something your body's not used to.
Right. So would you say Mexico is the number one destination for Americans to move to?
Yeah, it is. And I think that's a big part of that's proximity. You know, there's a lot of people that can just drive down from Arizona or California or Texas. So you see a lot of people who just load up their SUV and move down. You know, it's a lot easier. After that, it's probably Ecuador, Colombia, you know, still places that are relatively close. Those are the cheap ones. A lot of people move to Costa Rica and Belize too, but they're not as, you're not going to save as much moving to those.
So where are the cheapest places to live?
So in the Americas, yeah, there's probably a dozen or more between here and Argentina. Most of Central America is pretty cheap, except for Belize and Costa Rica. Panama is a bargain. Colombia, Ecuador, Peru, Argentina. Yeah, so there's a lot of choices. But, you know, I don't want to tell people to limit themselves to the Americas. The one reason to do that is you can speak Spanish in all those countries and just learn one language. And it's also a similar time zone. So if you need to do business, it's a lot easier to stay in this part of the world. But a lot of people move to somewhere like Portugal or the Czech Republic or Hungary, or go all the way and move to, you know, Thailand, Malaysia, one of those places in Asia. But like I said, it's tough if you got to do phone calls on a regular basis to do business. If you're retired, it doesn't matter so much. But if you're trying to make sales calls, you're going to be up in the wee hours a lot.
So, and you said you lived in Korea. I mean, how cheap is it to live? I mean, I've seen friends who live in Thailand and they're like spending $500 a month total. Is that true?
Yeah, you can do that. Or you could spend $5,000 pretty easily. It depends a lot on what kind of apartment you've got and how much you're going out. I think Thailand's gotten a little more expensive. It's probably the one one country I put in this book that actually has gotten a little more expensive since the first edition, which came out in 2015. And that's mostly because the baht has gotten stronger, the local currency. So that has a big effect. The baht's about 10% stronger against the American dollar. And I think it's about 25% stronger against the Canadian dollar. So that's made it a little more expensive. Whereas some other places like Malaysia have actually gotten cheaper. So there used to be a big gulf between those two, but I'd say now you can move to Vietnam or Malaysia and live on about the same amount as you could in Thailand.
And do people worry about, you know, how good the hospitals are, and how is the hospital where you are?
Yeah, where I am, there's some good ones about 40 minutes away. Like in the city I'm in, it's kind of basic. If I wanted to have anything major done, I would snag a taxi or an Uber and go to the next big city, which is León. And people in San Miguel go to a city called Querétaro. So that's true in a lot of countries. You know, if you're in Nicaragua, there's only one place you're going to want to go to get care, and that's Managua, because that's where the good hospitals are. But actually, Thailand has amazing hospitals, you know, and so does Panama. There's one in Panama that's affiliated with Johns Hopkins, and you'll get pretty much the same care as you would get in the U.S. with English-speaking doctors and really good equipment, but you'll spend about a fifth of the amount on the bill.
So do you have a car there?
I do not.
Because you mentioned Uber. How much would an Uber cost to drive 40 minutes?
Oh, not much. Probably $30. Wow. We go to the airport, it's between 20 and 25.
And which airport do you fly out of?
So it's called the León, Guanajuato Airport, BJX. And it's pretty active. I mean, right now, everything's a little different. But normally, we have direct flights from the U.S. on American, Delta, United, and Aeromexico.
Cool.
And then Volaris and Interjet, some of the others fly around from here. So we can get where we need to go usually pretty easily. Sometimes, though, it's cheaper to head down to Mexico City, because especially for international flights, you know, that's right. It's a direct.
And how far is that? Cheaper.
It's about 4 hours from here. So, you know, back when I wasn't afraid to go on a bus packed full of people, I would just get on a bus and, you know, do some reading or do some work, and no big deal, because you can actually go direct to the airport on the bus, which is pretty handy.
And how much does that cost?
About $35 probably.
Okay. Yeah. So now you'd have to take an Uber?
I think actually we bought some, you'll appreciate this. We bought business class flights from the U.S. from Mexico City to the U.S. for less than $250 each. I think they were like $236 or something like that. Business class one way to Orlando. So we are actually going to get a one-way rental car and drive down. Gotcha. And just drop it off there. And then when we get to Orlando, we'll take a one-way rental car to Tampa, because that's my final destination. But it was so cheap, I couldn't pass that up, like to sit in the front of
good
the
job
plane for that amount.
For sure. So what are some of the questions that people ask you when, you know, when you're doing these book tours? And well, I guess now you'll be doing some virtual tours, hopefully.
Yeah, well, they ask about safety, they ask about healthcare, health insurance, you know, all those things. People are naturally, you know, a little unsettled, a little wary about moving somewhere new, especially if they haven't traveled much. I get 10 times more questions from people that haven't traveled much than those who have, you know, taken an international vacation every year, because I think once you've traveled a good bit, you've learned that it's not that hard to get around. You figure it out eventually, and you figure out how to do things. You know, I think a lot of the questions come in, how do I find a place to live? How do I make a living? You know, a lot of people work the same job for 30 years, and it's a physical job of some kind. I don't know, maybe they're a fireman or a carpenter or something. And if they're not retired, they're wondering how they're going to make a living. And if you've got a virtual job like you and I do, and you just work off your laptop, it's pretty easy. You can go anywhere. So I encourage people to see if there's a way that they can apply their skills to something remote. And these days, since this pandemic started, there's a whole lot more remote jobs than there used to be.
There are. A lot of countries are opening up just for people, for Americans to come work there for the year or the winter. I know.
Yeah.
A lot of the islands, Barbados, Bermuda, Anguilla. Yeah.
And there's, I'm seeing some opening up on that front in some cheaper places too. Spain and Portugal are making it a little easier. Georgia, you could already stay in the country of Georgia for a year anyway on a tourist visa, but they're now offering this digital nomad visa where you can come in and just keep working and not miss a beat. And I don't know if you saw those new visa requirements for Thailand. There's a lot of hoops you've got to jump through.
Crazy.
But you get 270 days without leaving the country, which is, in that sense, a big improvement. So I think for a lot of digital nomads, that'll be worth it because they can stay so long without having to do a border run.
I'd love to live in Thailand. I've always said it. I mean, again, the hospitals are amazing there. So many Americans go there just to get treatment done and then come back.
Yeah, it's a big medical tourism destination.
And all the doctors, most of these doctors overseas have all trained in America.
Yeah, a lot of them have because they'll earn more money that way. They can work at a better hospital. They can charge more if they have English speaking patients. And it's a prestige thing too. You know, if you've studied abroad, you've got more cachet than somebody who hasn't. And that's something to remember in Mexico too. A lot of the doctors and a lot of the dentists have studied in Texas somewhere. So, you know, they'll answer your questions in English if you have a concern. And my dentist, we basically speak in Spanish unless I don't know what he's talking about. And then I get him to switch. You know, and he does a fabulous job. I pay literally about a fifth of what I paid in the U.S., a fourth sometimes, depending on the procedure. And I swear he's way more thorough about it. And he's not trying to upsell me on, you know, teeth whitening treatments or anything.
Right. That's awesome. And how about the schools? You know, you have a daughter, although I think she's in college now, correct?
Yeah, she did go to school here for 3 years in a Spanish-speaking private school, but Spanish-speaking. So out of the three of us, she definitely has the best Spanish of all. She sounds like a Mexican when she talks. Her accent's a lot better than
And did she ours. Have to, I mean, you have to know Spanish to get in, right?
Yeah, there's, if you're in a bigger city, you can easily find an English speaking private school for your kid. It might cost a bit more, but you know, if you're in Guadalajara or Mexico City or somewhere, it's pretty easy because there's a lot more locals going to those kinds of schools. But we're in a city of about 150,000-200,000 here, so there's not as much demand. But she did get old. No, they're about $300 a month or less here. Wow. She went to a Waldorf school for elementary, which some of your listeners might be familiar with. It's an international chain. There's another one called Montessori that's also here, but it's still going to be in Spanish. And so, you know, we put her through some kind of intensive classes before she started, so she wouldn't be just, you know, thrown in with no background. And she had, you know, a couple friends in the city that she, you know, spoke with in everyday Spanish. So that helped a lot. And she'd watch TV shows and watch SpongeBob in Spanish and things like that. But yeah, she's in college now, but she's actually living down here with us in Mexico for a while because she was actually supposed to do a college internship at Disney and in the Disney park system. And that's up in the air.
Yeah, I just read they just laid off 10,000 people today or this weekend.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Are there major chains down there? Is there Starbucks?
Yeah, for better or worse, not too many fast food chains, but we have Starbucks. We have Subway and Domino's. And
same price, same food?
Yeah, it's a little bit less, but it's more of like a special occasion for them rather than a place to eat for cheap. At the mall, there's a McDonald's. It's kind of funny. But mostly it's local independent places. If you're in a big city, there's more. There's also not a lot of chain hotels where we are. There's one or two IHG hotels, and then that's it. Everything's independent. But if you go to a bigger city in Mexico, I've cashed in my Marriott points or my IHG points or whatever.
So where do you think the cheapest place to live in Mexico is?
Well, in general, if you get into the interior and away from the beaches, it's going to be less. So I think pretty much any interior Mexico location is going to be a similar price. Grocery stores, supermarkets here are really uniform. Like if you go to a supermarket in Cancun, it's going to be the same price as, you know, anywhere else. But other things like labor and taxis, you know, getting your hair cut, that kind of thing. Once you get out of the beach resort areas, it gets to be a lot less. So Marriott is a pretty good deal, even though it's near the coast. But otherwise, just any of these smaller Mexican cities and even some of the beach resort areas that aren't as well known, like Mazatlan or Puerto Escondido, that aren't just full of thousands of gringos. Those places are priced a lot less too, especially, I mean, one good rule of thumb you can always do is go on Airbnb and just search for a place for a month and see how it comes out. And you'll find some of these places are ridiculously reasonable, especially right now when demand is low.
So how much do you think you would spend? How much would an average American spend if they're just trying to be frugal, get a one bedroom place for a month? 2000?
Yeah, easily you can get by as a couple on 2000, and that's not being careful at all. If you are trying to be careful, you could do it for 1500 or less. I've known people that were living on one Social Security check and getting by. I mean, they weren't in a really posh place, but they were in a nice apartment. They were eating well, going out, and you know, to go to the symphony here is $6. To go to like a concert in a nice hall is $4 or $5, you know, so it doesn't cost much to really go out and enjoy yourself. It costs a little bit more if you're taking buses around, like I said, or internal flights, but even that is fairly reasonable if you want to just travel around Mexico now and then.
Right. So you've written a lot about this. So where can people find your articles?
So the best place to go to that just links out to everything is timleffel.com, my name. But my blog that I've been running since 2003 is called The Cheapest Destinations Blog. And I write a lot on there about how to travel well for less, but also what it costs to live abroad in, you know, a place like Hungary or Portugal or Indonesia or wherever. So it's a good resource. And, you know, I post on there once a week. Used to be twice a week, but I've dialed it back a little bit.
And your book comes out next week. They can buy it on Amazon.
Yeah, let's just say mid-November, because I'm waiting for the cover. Hopefully we'll have it today or tomorrow, and then I can upload everything and be off to the races. But it's all finished. I'm just waiting for the production process to go through the motions, and then it'll be ready. It'll be available as an audiobook too later.
So they can't pre-order it.
Not yet, but give me a few days and you
okay.
can.
Well, I'm going to create a post out of this. Once it's available, I'll link it so people can go to johnnyjet.com and search this article, and I'll tweet it out and all that stuff.
Sounds good. And yeah, if anybody has any questions from this and wants to know more, hit up the blog, but also you can hit me up. I'm easy to find. There's not many Tim Leffels around.
And your last name is L-E-F-F-E-L, Leffel.
Yes, indeed.
All right, Tim. Well, listen, I appreciate you taking the time, and maybe we can do this again and talk about some other destinations.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me on, Johnny. And it's always good talking with you.
You too, buddy. Take care.
Bye-bye.